the meeting was highly anticipated, and we didn't know as to how it was going to unfold, given President Donald Trump's unpredictability. However, I think that the meeting, the beginning, was quite smooth. I think President Ramaphosa managed to keep his cool. Obviously, started with highlighting some geopolitical things that are on the fore now, such as the Russia-Ukraine war, as well as the war in Gaza. But I think what then became, what he first started to share these things as a starting ground because there are issues of neutrality. I think what then became a turning point in the meeting was when they started touching on the domestic issues, in particular, what in regards to the so-called genocide, as well as some of the issues regarding farm murders in South Africa, which are, of course, a fallacy. I think that's what the turning point in the meeting was.
Yeah. What do you make of the president's performance?
I think, firstly, leading up to this meeting, I actually did allude to the fact that whatever happened in the meeting, because a lot of people expected it to be a transactional sort of like an arrangement wherein the U.S. demands something and then we also give in a compromise in certain things, or rather maybe agree or disagree to certain demands that will be made by them in order to quell the current tensions, because at the center of everything that is happening now, the tension between South Africa and the U.S. and the attempt in quelling these tensions. So I think leading up to this, like I said, one of the things that I alluded to was that our sovereignty as a country must not be compromised in any way. But I think after yesterday's meeting, I can say that I think it's still very early to say whether our sovereignty was compromised, in such that there are no agreements that have been, or there are no rules that have been bent by our government or by our delegation, and there's nothing that we are standing on. None of our standpoints, such as the court in the ICJ, as well as our domestic policies, that have actually been loosened to allow certain things to happen. However, I do believe that I get a sense that there was a lot of the discussion, or rather some of the sentiments that were shared by Johan Rupert did actually allude something about in regards to Starlink operating in South Africa, which then actually brings me to a question of whether or not are we going to allow businesses to intervene in governmental and diplomatic matters between South Africa and the United States. So I think that's where my question now lies. And remember now, if we have a business person, individual, who is a stakeholder in government, having to intervene and also take decisions, or rather try to influence government on how its policy position should be, then that might have a slight erosion of our sovereignty as a country, or sovereignty of the government. Because remember, the main point of contention in regards to Starlink operating, because Johan Rupert's main thing, he did show some patriotism, but the main thing that really stood out for me in his utterances was saying that they need Starlink and they need Donald Trump and Elon Musk. For me, it seemed as if I viewed it as a transaction, business transaction of some sort, or maybe a plea of between the two businessmen, that big businessmen that were in the room, being Elon Musk as well as Johan Rupert. So I think that President Ramaphosa in his press conference yesterday, after that meeting, also alluded to the fact that they need foreign direct investment. And by this, what they were, he was indirectly alluding to was that they need Starlink, like what Johan Rupert was saying. So he was actually indirectly trying to propel the fact that they need Starlink to operate. And he also alluded to the fact that there are some laws in South Africa, such as the employment equity, as well as BEE, that a company should adhere to in order for them to operate. So clearly, from what we can gather, from what I've just said now, is that there is some sort of a deal that they are looking to strike, business deal that they are looking to strike with Elon Musk, And now the question really lies as to, will they really bend rules for certain people to be able to operate in the country without having to adhere to certain legislations and policies? Because South Africa is a constitutional democracy, and our constitution is what governs us, and no one should reign supreme more about the constitution.
Yeah. What do you make of, I think, interestingly, when it was asked to President Trump around the issue of the ICJ, also, you know, whether or not he was convinced that there was a genocide in South Africa, I anticipated him to be a little bit more forceful in his response around the issue of the ICJ, considering it's an issue that he raised, particularly on his social media platforms, on more than one occasion, and also him sort of backtracking and saying, look, he's not entirely convinced of a genocide, but these things need to be spoken about and he needs an explanation on it. What do you make of Donald Trump, who in many ways was predictable, but in other ways, and particularly in his responses to some of the questions, surprised many?
Well, I was actually quite surprised by his response in regards to South Africa's ICJ case against Israel, because what I characterized this tension to be about is, and what underpins the tension was the tension, or rather the South Africa's posture towards the war in Gaza and against Israel, to be specific. So that's what I characterized to be at the center of the current tension between South Africa and the United States. But surprisingly enough, President Donald Trump did not actually come to, he did not really be harsh or act hostile in his response towards how to deal toward, in regards to South Africa trying to, in regards to South Africa trying to persecute Israel through the ICJ. Because what I had expected, maybe as an ally of Israel, I had expected him to actually maybe try to twist South Africa's arm to act in a certain way. But in, to my surprise, or to everyone's surprise, rather, he actually showed a sign of respect to South African posture and also how they feel towards Israel. So now I think what's going to be important, moving forward is to see what is going to happen in regards to what deal is going to be struck between the two countries. But I think it was more a business sort of like transaction that they sought to strike with each other, or the two businessmen, like I said, sought to strike with each other more than it was a political and diplomatic issue. Because, for instance, I would have understood if they were saying, I think they were just using the whole genocide thing just to, as a scapegoat to try and get foreign direct investment through Starlink. I think that's the main issue that I'm realizing now, because Johan Rupert's utterances were that we need Starlink in order to be able to strengthen security. So I think this propaganda of the genocide that is happening in South Africa is as a result of trying to garner support in order to get certain business entities to operate within South Africa. But then the main question is that, like I did mention previously, that pieces of legislation that need certain foreign businesses to adhere to. And now the main challenge, like I did say, with a company that's starting operating there is because it is not necessarily adherent or compliant with some of the legislations insofar as employment equity is concerned. And also having people from previously disadvantaged backgrounds being within, having ownership within the company. Because remember now, when it comes to that, it's always a thing of, there's a legislation that stipulates that there needs to be 30% of people from the previously disadvantaged category that have ownership in the company, which is not the case with Starlink. And like I mentioned, that it's not compliant with some of our legislation within the country. So I think that's where the main thing of bone of contention will be now. But also, what I seem to understand is that President Donald Trump seems to have his head buried in the sand insofar as the white genocide, or rather the illusion of the genocide that is happening in South Africa, because President Ramaphosa did try to convince him, but he wouldn't hear it. And also what I think President Ramaphosa may have fallen short in is actually explaining why there is the Land Expropriation Act, because when he played to Jeff Malema's video, the main thing that he was saying was the kill the poor, kill the farmer song, and the issue of the confiscation of land. However, I think they really fell short in terms of explaining why we have the Land Expropriation Act in South Africa, because very legislation to confiscate land, as he presumes, but it's a legislation that is meant to address past injustices. I think they should have actually drawn from our historical trajectory in order to explain why we have such a legislation in South Africa, and to also state that it's not a legislation that is meant to take white people's land, but it's a legislation that is meant to take certain land that is unoccupied for government use, which is what has been done in other countries as well. And also to explain the fact that I think the key report here, the farmer song, like President Ramaphosa mentioned, that people have a freedom of speech in our country. He highlighted that very well. But also at the same time, the Constitutional Court did make a ruling numerous times that the song is not hate speech, although they didn't really get into the merits of that. But I think the main thing that was important, which he did highlight, was that we are a multi-party democracy and everyone has freedom of speech, and that the song does not really incite violence. I think they fall short in not defending the Cuba Port Cuba Farmer song, but to also draw from some of the court outcomes that were laid by organizations such as Afro Forum and some minority groups in South Africa.